Well, if you take notes, and that's wonderful that you do, grab your note-taking pen and write down the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 10, and then I'm going all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3. So right now we're 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and I want to just bring out about two verses here, and I want to show you that whenever temptation comes, it usually does not come like a hammer. It doesn't. It doesn't come like some kind of a hammer to our heart. It seems to just kind of creep in. It kind of just unannounced slips in somehow. And Brother Derek, you sometimes don't even know where the temptation come from, but there it is. And you didn't control it. As one old preacher said, you can't help the thoughts that come through. You can't help the birds that will fly by your hair, but you shouldn't let them build a nest in there. You just let them go on. And that's the way that we should do. And the Bible teaches the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 10. If you're there, there's only two verses here that I want to read. And I want you to see that the temptation will come. It's inevitable. It will come. Does everybody realize that? It will come. The Bible said, wherefore, in verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What is that admonition? What is that warning there? What is that saying? Anybody want to bail it out? Let any man that stands take heed lest he fall. What is that warning? You better be careful, because you know what? You've got this thing. I've whooped that thing. I'll never overeat again. I'll never tell another filthy joke. I'll never lie again. I'll never worry about women again. I'll never have to worry about my long flapping tongue again. I'll never have to worry about cussing again. I won't have to worry about those things. The Bible said, let any man that stands take heed. What is that? Take notice. Stand guard right now because of what it says after that, Brother Danny. It said, lest he fall. But praise God for the next verse in the Bible. I am so thankful for this verse because even as I told you, Brother Kippy, that it is a given, temptation will come. It is inevitable. It's coming to you. And as sure as the sun's going to rise in the morning, Brother Danny, as sure as it'll get dark in just a little bit from now, temptation is coming to your house. Temptation is coming to me. Temptation is coming to your children. Temptation is coming to your wife. Temptation is coming to your husband. Temptation is coming to the pastor. Temptation is coming to the deacon board. And temptation, bless God, thank God, and praise the Lord all together that when he sends the temptation, he sends something along with it. Amen. Are y'all all right? Amen. When he sends the temptation, you said God sends temptation? Sometimes he does. But it's not a temptation to sin. It's different. It's a temptation to be honest, to be honorable for him, to pray more. That's not a temptation to sin. Somebody said, I deal with the unfaithfulness. I deal with a lack of prayer. God's not tempting you to not pray. God's not tempting you not to do that. You deal with that because you are weak in your faith. But that's not sin. So we tempt her in many different ways. But when the temptation does come, there hath no temptation, be it a temptation of a lack of faith or worry or doubt or whatever you stuck on your yellow post-it note. There hath no temptation. Can you say no temptation? Say it again. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Do you know what common to man means? It means that it's common to all of us. It's going to hit you. It's going to hit Anthony. It's going to hit Will. It's going to come up and catch Miss Becky off guard. It'll catch everybody in here. It is common to man. There had no such temptation taken that such is common to man, but God is faithful. Aren't you glad he's faithful? The Bible said that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Did you hear me? A lot of people take this stuff out of context. And I've heard it, and I've heard it, and I've heard it. Lord won't give you more than you can bear. Where's that at in your King James Bible? Huh? It's not in there. He's not talking about a heavy burden. He's not talking about the weight of 1,000 worlds upon your shoulder. He's not talking about when your daughter is 2,000 miles away or 800 miles away and mama's got a heavy heart because she can't see her daughter. He's not talking about all this. The Bible said that God is faithful. And here's what it says. That he will not suffer you to be tempted about that you're able. God will absolutely give you more than you can bear, because if you could always bear it, you would not need him. Right. You would never need the Lord if you were able. If you were able to save yourself, Brother Chris, guess what? You would have done that, and you would have exempted the necessity of the cross. Right. You cannot keep yourself saved. Tim, you couldn't save yourself. Therefore, you couldn't get out of the penalty of the curse of the law, and you couldn't save yourself. You couldn't keep yourself, because if you would, you would have needed Jesus. Right. Read on. There's no temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Aren't you glad that we have an escape clause? Aren't you glad that we have a measure of God's grace that will get us through the tempestuous times in our lives, that we don't have to go through them alone? This flesh is weak, my brethren. This flesh, Brother Tam, is a weak thing. We are robed in carnality from head to toe. Paul struggled with it. Other men of God struggled with it. You struggle with it. I struggle with it. But praise God, God is faithful.
Amen.
That when that temptation comes your way, guess what? Here comes the escape route. The escape route is a cross. The escape route is a man that hung on that cross. The escape route is a grave. The escape route is an empty tomb. The escape route, Brother Tam, is a resurrection. The escape route is a Holy Spirit that come back, that even abides with us still, that blessed God on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came back. The escape route is my Savior today.
Amen.
Go all the way back to the book of Genesis. I preach a whole message, not even got to where I'm talking. I'm preaching about Eve tonight, if y'all hadn't figured it out. I ain't even mentioned her yet. Eve or Steve? Mark or Clark? Varun or Varuma? It doesn't matter. We're all in this thing together. Man, Eve gets a bad rap. Does she not? Does Eve not get a bad rap? Has to bear children and labor and pain. Has to birth these little babies in the world. Bless God for Eve's. Because if Adam had had it, that'd been one. That'd been the end of that. I've had kidney stones, Danny. That'd been about one. We ain't going to go down that road anymore. God bless you ladies that have labored in childbirth to give wonderful, wonderful life unto humanity. That's what keeps this cycle of life going. Any of you men ever had a baby? You wouldn't want to. If you ever had one, you probably wouldn't want another one, would you? Will, you up for that? Yeah, you are. I'm going to be in the third chapter of the book of Genesis tonight. Give you, like the preacher said this morning, give you just a few quick things that we're getting out of here. Have y'all ever heard this, the opportunity knocks once? Y'all ever heard that? You heard that, Brother Chris? Sometimes opportunity only knocks once. But you ever heard this saying, even as opportunity knocks once, temptation leans on the doorbell. I can't stand that. I can't stand that, Tim. I'm there. I'm getting up. Bing bong. Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong. Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong. You do it. You come to the house. Boom, 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 boom. Push it again. You know, I'm coming to the door. You can see me. What are you ringing the doorbell for? I'm standing there. Your temptation. Your temptation. Opportunity knocks once, but temptation's leaning on the doorbell. Just keeps on and on and on and on. I got a computer keyboard at work that's got a sticky Z button. I'll go in there sometime and my whole computer screen has got Z's on it. Bugs me to no end. It's probably where I've spilled Diet Mountain Dew or a gummy bear down in it. And it's stuck. It just fills the screen up. I have to take my toenail clippers or my knife or whatever. I take an earpiece, one off of my glasses, and then stick it under there and pop that key back up to make it quit sticking and writing that. That's the way my temptation doorbell is. Tam, it's stuck. And Satan knows exactly where to stick it. And don't just, it's not like my opportunities just knock once and leave me. They come day by day by day by day by day by day. Moment by moment by moment by moment by moment. Here comes that temptation again. Bless God, but I'm glad the Bible said if we submit ourselves unto God, just dive head first into Jesus. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, then he'll flee. Sometimes we're just resisting the devil and we've not dived head first into Jesus. You must first submit yourself. That's in there in that order too. Submit yourself therefore unto Jesus and resist the devil, then he will flee from you. But sometimes we just try to resist him in the flesh and that doesn't work. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse number 1, I want to look at Eve for just a little while. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Text verse is probably going to be broken down in about four different directions. We're going to go back to the first part. Whenever the Bible says 1 through 4 that Satan or the serpent was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. And I want you to see first that she listened to his lies. Can you see this? The Lord God spoke to Adam and Eve, put them in a perfect environment in Eden's garden, told them exactly what to do. You just dress and keep it, but leave that tree alone and everything's going to be okay. And then enter Satan, enter the serpent, enter the master deceiver, the master manipulator. And bless God, because she listened to his lies, bless God, the trouble started. So I would say tonight, if you want a little help dealing with your temptation, then stop listening to the lies of Satan. Realize that he is a manipulator of your thought process. He's the one that wants to destroy your marriage. He's the one that wants to destroy your home. He's the one that would want to take your children. He's the one that would take your train of thought and go down a deceitful and a devious direction. He's the one that will cause you problem, Brother Kim. When nothing else caused you problem, Satan's right there ready to cause you harm. Stop listening to his lies. Do you realize that if you have a temptation, I'm just going to pick one. You have a temptation. Doubt and fear come out. You're dealing with doubt and you're dealing with fear. Do you realize that when you conquer that doubt and you conquer that fear, whatever else I could pull out of this, do you realize that once you conquer that thing and God gives you grace to overcome that? Brother Tim, you know what that does to you? Bless God, that emboldens you toward that particular temptation and you'll defeat that thing quicker. You'll defeat that thing easier the next time according to God's word because of the grace. You increase your faith and God said, he would give more grace to the humble. You've humbled yourself before God, said, I can't deal with this temptation. He helped you with it. And because of that, you're strengthened in that particular area. So now, praise God, I'm not dealing with doubt anymore. Preacher, I've overcome the doubt. I have no more fears. You know what? Satan says, watch this. I'll up the ante a little bit. I'll up the struggle a little bit. I'll up the temptation a little bit. I'll sweeten the pot just a little bit. I'll give them a little more to lust over. I'll give them a little more to draw them. I'll entice them with just something else. And if you totally defeat that particular thing, Brother Derek, no more dealing with lust, no more dealing with drugs, no more dealing with alcohol, with pornography, no more dealing with whatever it is that you struggle with. He says, okay, I'll find another weakness. And you're not invincible. He will come to you. So I would say first, stop listening to the lies. Amen. I deal with that. Before I exit this pulpit, 9 times out of 10, I feel like I have made an utter mess, an utter failure. And it drives me nuts because I know that I've done what God wanted me to do. I know I'm supposed to be here. I know that I'm supposed to be preaching. I know that I'm supposed to, that was the word that God gave for this day. I don't just sit down, Brother Tam, and concoct something and write down a whole laundry list of things that's going on in the church and come up here and force feed y'all. I pray through it and I know, but even knowing, Derek, that I was in the right scripture, I delivered the right message, I did it in boldness, I tempered it with love, I did everything that I could. One of the first things when I get in the car, I say, tell my wife, I said, boy, I made a mess tonight. She said, no, you didn't. I said, I did too. She said, quit listening to that liar. 9 times out of 10, she'll say, quit listening to the lies. That's all that it is. Quit listening to the liar. Or she'll, or somebody else will say, well, did you do what God wanted you to do? I said, yeah. Well, then what's the problem? I would tell you not to quit listening to the lies. You say, well, how am I going to overcome that? You're telling me to quit listening. The Bible said that Eve gave him an ear. He said to the woman, yea, God hath said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said, so anyway, Brother Tim, she's engaged in a conversation with this serpent. She gave him an ear. For those that put gossip on there, that gossip would soon stop if you would not have an ear in which to tell it. So if you are the ear to the gossip ear, then quit giving the gossip ear the ear to gossip in, and the gossip will stop. Amen. I had somebody call me one time at work and said, Pastor, can I tell you what I heard? And I said, does it involve another church member? Yes. I said, did you hear it firsthand or see it firsthand, or did you just hear it from somebody? I just heard it. Then don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. Amen. She hung up on me. A member of Calvary Baptist Church hung up on the pastor. You said, you're making that up. No, I'm not. She called me back about 20 minutes later and apologized. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me your problems, or don't tell me somebody else's problem unless it's a matter of prayer. But if you're going to cloak gossip or cover gossip and wrap that thing neatly up with a bow on it and offer it to me as a prayer request, keep it. I don't want it.
Amen.
Just quit listening to the lies. Let's move on down the page. That was verses number 1 through 4 for those that marked your Bibles up. Verse number 6. I don't mean to skip 5. Let's get 5. God doeth know in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as the gods, knowing good and evil. I told you to quit listening. How about this? Quit looking. You said, is that in there? Well, verses 1 through 4, Satan's talking to Eve, and Eve's talking back to him. So I say, quit listening. Verse number 6 is the next verse. The Bible said the woman saw. What's that mean? She's looking. Look what it says. I'm not making this stuff up. It said the woman saw that the tree was good for food. She had never seen that tree in that particular light. I mean, no doubt, brother, we don't know the time, Brother Derek, from the creation of Adam to the creation of Eve and to the creation of that tree that was planted in the garden that did grow, that did provide luscious fruit of whatever manner they were. But Tim, she had never seen that tree in that particular light until that day. You said, what's that all about? It's about looking. It's about temptation. Satan portrayed that thing exactly like he wanted her to see it. He'll do that with your coworker. He'll do that with a boy at school. He will do that with a girl at school. He'll do that in your family. He'll do that in your marriage. He'll do that in your home. And you've never seen it that way before, but all of a sudden, I've been around that tree for the last 10 years. I've been around that man for the last 2 months. I've been around that woman for the last 3 years. I've worked beside her. I've never seen her like that before. I've been around that substance. I didn't know that substance made you see things. I didn't know they called that ecstasy. I didn't know they called that a hallucinogenic, because when I eat that or take that or smoke that or shoot that up, that I can start seeing creepy crawly things. I didn't know that made you feel that way. I didn't know that just taking a few pills could help me to sleep 24 hours straight without even waking up to go to the bathroom. I didn't know that. Man, them things are good. I got to have them now. I didn't realize if I take this pill in the morning, as soon as I get out of bed, man, I've got enough energy to go. I could run a 20-mile marathon, never even break a sweat. But at the end of the night, I'm going to have that other thing that gets me back to sleep. You see, this stuff is out there. It's all around us. Eve listened, but Eve looked. She saw the tree. I told you, Preston, stop listening to the lies and stop looking. Stop looking for that that would harm you. Stop looking at that that would draw you away. The temptation is not sin, but when it's conceived in a man's heart, drawn of his own lust of his eyes, drawn of the lust of the flesh, drawn of the pride of life, saying, I can have that. That will be mine. It will be. I'm going to name it and claim it. That is mine. Keep looking, and it just might be yours. Throw away a 20, a 30. How many years, honey, was your wife, was your mom and daddy married? 32 years. And that your mother-in-law was my mama. Married for 30 years? Maybe 30? My mom and dad married for about 30 years, I think, before they finally just split. You said, once you get past the threshold, preacher, you're on easy street then. Once you get 10 down, you got it made. You get 5 years under your belt, preacher, you got it made. You got 25 under years, you got it made. Temptation has no time frame. Temptation has no age limit. Temptation has no gender boundaries. Temptation's out there. Stop listening and stop looking, because it's there. It'll catch your eye in just a moment. So I'm trying to help you deal with temptation. The Bible says that Eve looked upon it. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse number 16, for all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. Did y'all hear me? It says it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's the problem. The worldly things, that's why the Bible is so specific. And with the great specificity of the Scripture, it says to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. Because if any man loves those things, then the Bible declares that the love of the Father is not even in him. Man, we get sidetracked sometimes. We look long and we look wrong because we look too long. And then it held our gaze, it held our stare, and then the thoughts creeped in. And the next thing you know, the thoughts turned to temptations and tempestuous thoughts. The next thing you know, you're acting out them. Bring me some of that stuff. I know it helps you. It'll help me. Bring me some of that. Y'all ever hear Brother Larry preach about the weed? Preaching about marijuana, you're smoking a curse unto yourself, because on the other side of the curse, there was no weeds. Now it's a weed in the garden, and now you're smoking a curse. Because weeds come with the curse, Brother Derek. And Brother Larry Key preaches a wonderful message on the use of marijuana. We got people now that would just legalize it. Let us all grow our own. Let us all smoke our own. Let us all use our own. Bake it into brownies. Fix it all over the world. And because it's medicinal. It'll help you. It'll make you feel good. It's a curse. Stop looking. Stop listening. Keep going. Look at the letter. Keep going in chapter number, verse number 6 of the third chapter. She saw that tree in verse number 6, that it was good for food, but she saw it in a different light. Now she sees the fruit on it. Now she's wondering, I wonder what that fruit tastes like. You know, I've never seen it just like that before. I wonder what that stuff tastes like. Started pondering in her heart. Now she's getting ready to act upon it. Because look what it said. Not only did she listen to Satan, but she looked at the tree. And now she's starting to do one thing more. What's she doing, Brother Chris? She's lusting for it. Because look what it says. It said, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was, and that it was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, A tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof. She lusted for it. She got a hungering for it. That's the same thing when that Krispy Kreme light's on. That's the hot now sign. I'm not lying to you. Not that thing. My car is out of alignment when that light's on. It has a magnetic pull to the left because I'm going this way and that thing's just pulling me. You said, is that sin? That Toyota's got a problem because it wants to go in there. Maybe we need to anoint my Toyota. It pulls to the left. That light's on. I'm going in there to get a dozen. And if I'm not careful, I won't get but a couple because Cindy loves them things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the next thing you know, you're turned in. You bought the goods. You paid the price thereof. And I'm telling you, Brother Derek, sometimes it's a steep price. You know, old Joe bought a ticket. He paid the price thereof to get out of the presence of God. He's running from a call in his life and he ends up in the belly of a whale. You said that the Bible said it was a great fish. Jesus referred to it as a whale. So I'm not going to call it a whale. But he paid the price thereof. And sometimes, you ever get buyer's remorse? Don't we all do that? You buy something, Brother Tim, you paid a little too much for it because you really wanted it. Next thing you know, there it is. You got it. It cost you a lot of money. But then at the end of the day, you're like, did I really need that? Every man that's ever had an affair, every woman that's ever had an affair and then tried to reconcile with their spouse, I guarantee you they had buyer's remorse. Said, I traded a two-bit harlot. I traded my wife for something. I traded in a good marriage. I traded in this, and that's what I got in a return. I guarantee you they've had buyer's remorse. If there's an ounce of grace in their body and God's trying to help them at all, they've got buyer's remorse. Eve listened and Eve looked, and now Eve has lusted. She said, I've never seen that tree like that, but what she did, the Bible part said, the latter part of verse number 6, the Bible said that she took thereof. Not only did she take thereof, but she ate it. Not only did she ingest it, but she said, here, don't you want some, Adam? Adam could have simply said, where'd you get that, Eve? A lot of controversy, there's a lot of commentary right there. You read your commentaries, there's a lot of commentary right there about Adam was the strong one, he was created first. There's a lot of commentary right there that Adam didn't want to live. She's fallen. She's already fallen. Sin has entered her camp. Sin is hers now. But there's a lot of commentary that Adam did not want to be alone from that wife that God created for him. So he took the fruit thereof. I'm not going to surmise why Adam took it, but Adam took it. Because look what it says. She did eat thereof and gave it unto her husband. And it didn't stop there. What did it say? And he did eat. Not only did she listen. Not only did she look. Not only did she lust. But now guess what? You said these are all L's. Brother Derek, now she's lost. She's lost. You realize at that time, Brother Danny, she walked in the cool of the day with Adam and with God at an appointed time, Brother Derek. The Lord God Almighty come into the garden every day and he walked therein, Brother Paul. He come in at that appointed time, Brother Scott, and he walked in the garden with his creation. Now they're lost. They're lost and wandering. They could go and eat of the tree of life, Brother Derek, and live forever in a fallen state. But God took care of that. He didn't let them get back to that tree of life that they would live forever in a fallen state. He didn't let them. Thank God for that. Or humanity as we know it would be different. God kept them from the tree of life. They took of the garden of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But praise God, Preston, he put an angel to keep them from taking of the life of the tree of life and living forever in a lost condition. That she looked, she listened, she lusted, but she blessed God. The greater is that she lost. She lost out on everything. She lost that fellowship with God. She lost that of humanity, the very companion that God had given her. It was all because of an appetite. That preacher painted a beautiful picture this morning about how that something would appeal to our appetite. And then we would have an appetite for that. Why? Because we've once tasted it. We have an appetite for it. You remember that? He said he loved Reese cups. He said if he had never tasted them, he probably would have never wanted a Reese cup. But after he tasted that delectable little peanut butter and chocolate cup, he loves them things. How many times have you tasted something sinful, carnal, utterly destructive for you? And you tasted it. And Brother Tim, your flesh said, I want more of that. And I'm not talking about to the tongue. I'm not talking about always to the ingesting. I'm talking about the spiritual. You took of that. You let your mind go that way. You yielded into that temptation. You give into that, whatever that is. And because you yielded to that, man, it left you feeling so wandering. You ever felt like you just can't get a hold of God? Have you ever felt like you can't get a hold of God? Do you ever feel like you just can't get a hold of God? Are you hearing me today? Does it feel like, Brother Chris, you just can't get a hold of God? I'm telling you, God didn't change. He's not changing because of you. He's not changing because of me. He's the Lord God Almighty, and He changed it not. If there's any changing going on, it was on our end of the deal. Man, Eve lost out. I wrote those things down. She listened to, she looked upon, she lusted for, and she lost out. And you say, what all did she lose? Look down through there really, really quickly. She lost her soul. Now destined for hell. She lost her fellowship with Adam. They walked around naked in the garden. No sin, no shame. Why? Because there's no sin. She didn't know that it was a bad thing. Why? Because it wasn't at the time. Just the two of them and God. But now shame is associated with that sin. And they have had to hide themselves. You said God lost her. No, God didn't lose her. Preacher, then why did God ask, where yet? He must have lost them. No, He didn't ask where Adam was at. Because He lost him. He's hid over there in the bushes, covered up under leaves. He asked Adam where Adam was at, that Adam might make a realization, that Adam might come to a full-blown confession before Him. I'm over here. What are you over there for? We've hid ourselves. Why'd you do that? Because we were naked. Who told you we're naked? It's thing. You got to come clean before God. I want to help you with your temptation. Stop listening. Stop listening to the dirt. Stop listening to the deception. Stop listening to the devious nature of the devil and his demonic lies. Do you realize he's a liar? And not just a liar, but the father of all lies. Stop listening. Stop looking. Stop. But preacher, it's so good looking. It's so temptuous. Oh, I just can't stop. Yeah, you can. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Brother Scott, come, we're done. That's how quick we get done around here. Stop listening to, stop looking upon, stop lusting for, so that you don't lose out. As we stand over the house of prayer tonight, if you put something on one of these yellow cards, I don't know who did, who didn't, and I'm thankful unto God you didn't put your names on them. But would you come tonight and just pray, say, Lord, help me with this doubt. Lord, would you help me with his fears? Lord, would you help me with my sexual sins? Will you help me about my weak prayer life? How about it tonight? You put it on the paper. God knows it's in your heart. Why don't you just come up and deal with it tonight and ask God? I'm not saying come up here and confess that you're an axe murderer. I'm not saying come up here and confess that you're some kind of a deep, depraved sinner. But bless God, we're all sinners. And every one of us is a sinner by our own device and own nature because we let that sin come in and abide in our heart. Let no man sin when he's tempted. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when that lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it finished, bringeth forth death. As we pray all over the altar today, Macy's playing, bow your heads and pray where you're standing. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you tonight.